Every man as his work shall be. Then he said, for I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I tell you, Jesus Christ is in a class all by himself. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Crown him, Lord of all. You should crown him Lord of your life. If he's not the Lord of your life, he can't be the Savior of your soul. Therefore, you should crown him. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention again to the book of Joshua. The chapter is 7. And I want to read verses 19 through 21. Joshua chapter 7. And I want to look at verses 19 through 21. If you have that, say amen. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Using that reading, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, give God the glory. Give God the glory. When we look at the word glory from a secular definitional standpoint, it has to do with exaltation. It has to do with recognition, praise, fame that one receives because he or she has done something important. When we look at glory from a secular standpoint, it has to do with achievement, what one has achieved. And as a result, it brings about the conferring of fame, honor, recognition, and praise. When we look at the word glory from a theological or biblical perspective, we see that it is thanksgiving given unto a deity or given unto God, as the angel said upon the birth of our Lord, glory to God in the highest. When we look at glory from a theological perspective, it means honor. It means splendor. It means brightness. It means glory. What we are to do in this world, we are to give God the glory. That's what we are on this planet to do, to render unto God glory and honor and recognition and praise. So in this lesson, I want to talk about three things with you. I want to talk about number one, sin is the falling short of the glory of God. Sin is the falling short of the glory of God. And the second point is properties and people that gave God glory. Properties and people that gave God glory. And thirdly, it is a question. And that question is, will you give God the glory? There's a very important passage of scripture in the Holy Bible in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. And that statement gives us theological and spiritual insight into the moral and the spiritual condition of this world. And that passage says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that all people everywhere, no matter the color or the ethnicity or the gender, all have sinned. The worst of men have sinned. The best of men have sinned. Educated men have sinned. Uneducated men have sinned. All generations of men who have lived upon the face of the earth have sin. They have fallen short of the glory of God. That means that not only have I sinned, but there is nothing inherent in me, in my name or in my efforts, where I could ever earn the praise and the approval of God. Because all of us today have sinned. It's not y'all have sinned. It's all have sinned. And as a result of that, God, who is all wise and God who cannot lie, has declared that all human beings in this world need salvation. It is a salvation that only God can offer. It is a salvation that is exclusively in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But let's look further at this idea of a falling short, because the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3 that Christ died for our sins. It says that we have all sinned. And as a result, we have not lived up to the grand and great expectations that God has for our life. God has a plan for my life. God has a purpose for my life, and I've missed the mark. But thank God. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, we've sinned. But the Bible said that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, rose again the third day with all power in his hand, never to die no more, for all have sinned, but yet Jesus has died for my sin, because the wages of sin, or the penalty for sin, is death. Now let me just kind of try to break it down theologically. You see, we can't be forgiven unless somebody dies. We can't have forgiveness unless somebody dies. Either I accept Jesus' death for my sins, or I die in my sins and I receive the full consequence and the penalty of my sin, which is damnation. I know preachers don't want to talk about this today in a burning hell. Jesus died to save me from the catastrophic condition of being lost eternally. This lets me know how terrible sin is. Because the only way somebody can be forgiven, somebody's got to die. That lets me know how awful it is. And yet it also lets me know that Jesus died for my sins. I really don't have words adequate to describe how wonderful the sacrifice that Jesus made is. Jesus died for our sins. He died. He didn't have any sins. He didn't have any sins to die for, but he died for my sin. That cross wasn't for him. That cross was for us. But he became our substitute because we fell short of the glory of God. Now, when you look at the text in Joshua chapter 7, Achan was guilty of a flagrant sin. Now, when I say flagrant, I mean real bad. Now, let me say this, and I don't want to give a disclaimer because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm about to say, and that is some sins are worse than others. Now don't get happy and say, well, I'm just doing your sins that ain't so bad. You see, little rattlesnakes will kill you too, just like big ones. Amen. But some sins are weightier and more consequential. Achan committed a flagrant sin because of his selfishness and self-centeredness. He committed a sin that caused 36 people to die. He committed a sin that destroyed the morale of the nation of Israel. He committed a sin so grievous and so flagrant that ultimately it caused Achan and his entire family to be killed and to be burned with fire because Achan took glory. And whenever we sin, brothers and sisters, we take glory from God, because sin is the falling short of the, and we need to raise our level of thinking and consciousness in this area, because whenever I sin, I'm taking something from God. Amen. And so it was Joshua's responsibility to determine, because he tried to figure out why they were defeated. But it was sin in the camp. And sin in the camp will destroy the church. Doesn't matter that you got a $7 million building and a glass pulpit and comfortable pews. If there is sin in the camp, it will destroy the church. Amen. The safest thing for the church to do is to confess its sins and let the blood of Christ cleanse us from all sin. And so here Achan is robbing God of the glory, because the commandments were they were to take Jericho, and Jericho was totally given up to God for destruction. That is, none of the spoils were to be taken. Everything was to be totally given to God. Well, Achan saw some things he liked in Jericho. He saw a wedge of gold. He saw a beautiful Babylonian garment. He saw silver and shekels, and Achan took the very thing God said don't take. And he hid it in his tent. And he thought it was all right. But when Israel went to fight the battle of Ai, they were defeated. Joshua was trying to figure out what in the world has gone wrong. And God said, I wasn't with you because of sin in the camp. You have committed a transgression in taking the accursed thing. You've done what I told you not to do. So he told Joshua, get up. Get up off your face and handle this. And so they had to go through a process. They had to figure out who was the culprit, who was the villain, who was the perpetrator. And finally, through a process, Achan was brought forth. And here's what Joshua said to Achan. He said, my son, give God the glory. Now, in this instant, church, he was giving God the glory by telling the truth. Is that all right? You see, he gave God the glory by telling the truth. Brother Hillary, look at Joshua 7 and look at verses 11 through 13. And let's just see what we can get a more in-depth understanding of what's taking place. And what does it say, brother?
Israel hath sinned.
Israel hath sinned.
And they have also transgressed.
They have transgressed.
My covenant. Which I commanded them.
All right.
For they have even taken of the
accursed thing. They have taken of the accursed thing.
And have also stolen.
And have stolen.
And dissembled.
Dissembled
also
means they have played the hypocrite.
And they have put it even among their
and
own.
And they have put it among their own. The very stuff I told them they couldn't have. They've taken it, stolen it, put it among their own stuff. Read.
Therefore, the children of Israel.
And here's the reason why you lost the battle.
Could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed.
He said, God said, you couldn't win because I put a curse on you. And man, when God put a curse on you, God is the only one who can get it off you. Is that all right? Ain't no need of you going to Madam Ann to get the curse off you. If the Lord doesn't put a curse on you, only the Lord can get it off of you. Read, Brother Hillary.
Neither will I be with you anymore.
And God said, neither until you handle this, I will not be with you anymore. Let me tell you something. If you want God to be with you, you got to deal with sin in your life. You got to confess that sin. If you want God to be with you, only you praying God to give you traveling grace, and you got unconfessed sin. Only you praying for God to bless you when you've been stealing the money you should have been giving him. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Where did that come from? Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Except you destroy the accursed.
Except you destroy
the accursed.
The accursed
from among you.
From among you. So Joshua tells Achan, he said, give God the glory. Now before, Achan had been involved in deceit, fraud, falsehood, and lies. Listen, deceit, fraud, falsehood, and lie never point to God. Whatever you got, lying and deceit and fraud and hypocrisy, it always points to the devil, who is the father of lies and the originator of deceit. Is that all right? And it always points to the devil. But truth always points to God. That's why the poet said, truth forever on the scaffold. Wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown, God standeth within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. God watches his own people. And so he said, Achan, give God the glory. And whenever I'm truthful, I give God the glory. That's why in a court of law, when you take the witness stand, they make you swear on the Bible. You ever been in a court of law and had to give testimony? They make you swear on the Bible, don't they? They said, raise your right hand. Is that right? And they said, do you swear to tell the truth? And there were some people in the Church of Christ said, well, I don't swear. I affirm to tell it. Well, if you affirm under oath, you swore. if you affirm anything on the oath, you've just sworn. You can, you may not like the word, but that's what you did. Is that all right? And they say, do you swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and only the truth? And then they add, so help me God. Because one thing about it, you know God ain't gonna help you to lie. Is that right? And so he told Achan, give God the glory. And God got the glory because the truth was told. But there's another reason God got the glory, and that was because the entire nation found out. Listen, nothing can be hidden from God. Nothing I do. Listen to the scripture. Hebrews 4, 12, 13. The word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Verse 13, watch this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So what are you saying? I'm saying nothing I do or say or think or feel can be hidden from God. Now let me ask you a question. And that just keep it real. You ain't got to, you don't have to answer. Just think about this. If you know somebody is watching you, we kind of behave differently, don't we? If we think we ain't being watched. Is that right? But the Bible lets us know that there's an all-seeing eye that sees us wherever we are. Nothing. God received the glory because nothing could be hid from God. God received the glory because Achan told the truth. Before, he was lying and deceiving and committing fraud, but now he gave God the glory. Let me tell you something. Whenever a child of God stands up in the church and say, out of an honest and sincere heart, brothers and sisters, I have sinned and I have repented, and I ask the church to pray for me, that gives God the glory. Because I'm recognizing his way is right. And in this instance, I'm wrong. But if I'm living in sin and won't confess it, I'm taking the glory away from God. Here's a second idea as I rush along. That is properties and people that gave God the glory. The Bible lets us know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to the Lord. All the silver and the gold belong to God. The wild beasts belong to God. Is that all right? And so properties are glorifying God. That's why Psalms 19, 1 and 2 say, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Whenever the day come, it's talking. And night unto night showeth knowledge. Then in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. When I consider the work of thy finger, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visiteth him. Then in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 2, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. He was high and sitting on a throne. And he was high and he was lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above him was the seraphim, and it had six wings. With two they covered their eyes. With two they covered their feet. And with two they did fly. And they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then they said, the whole earth is full of his glory. I want to tell you this morning, as you look outside, it is a showcase for the glory of God. All you got to do is look around. You see the glory of God. Open your mind. You'll see the glory of God. But these are just properties. Property glorify God. But then people should glorify God too. Jesus Christ glorified his Father. His incarnation, that is his virgin birth, his sinless and perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his glorious resurrection glorifies God. Is that all right? His whole mission was about glorifying God. He let Lazarus die where God could get the glory. Is that all right? Yes, Lazarus was sick and they wanted him to come, but Jesus said, I gotta let him die because God's got to be glorified. And Jesus demonstrated that he was the resurrection and the life by the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Man was born blind. Sister Smith never had seen the light of day. And they asked, why was this man born blind? Did his parents sin? Jesus said, no, his parents didn't sin, but this man was born blind for the glory of God. Because never in the history of the world has anyone with a congenital, and what I mean congenital is something you're born with. You know, something you're born with most of the time, unless medical intervention, you got to live with that. But in this case, here's a man who had never seen, yet Jesus opened his eyes to the glory of God. And then I'm going to tell you this. Do you not know you're going to heaven one day? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to take many sons to glory. And that's going to glorify every day you walk around heaven. Are you going to walk around heaven? Every day you walk around heaven, that's going to bring glory to God. When you lift your voice in that heavenly choir and begin to sing praises to God, it's going to glorify God. Jesus Christ has so thoroughly glorified God that God has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name. Name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. People ought to give God the glory. And then Abraham, brother, here, run over to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And you know why he's so great, Sparks? Because he gave glory. He gave glory to God. I want to ask this morning, will anybody give God some glory? I say he deserves some glory this morning. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says what? Read it.
As it is written.
As it is written.
I have made thee a father of many nations.
I have made you a father of many nations.
Before him whom he believed.
Read.
Even God, who quickeneth the dead.
All right.
Calleth those things which he... which.
You see, God can call something that does not exist as if it exists. There's a thing in Scripture called prolepsis. It's when God is speaking of something in the past tense and it hadn't even come to pass. And that lets you know that when God said, it's going to happen. Like the man said a time ago, if he say a rooster dip snuff, look on his wing. Is that right? Well, when God says something, it's settled. Read, Brother Hillary.
Who quickeneth the dead?
He quickeneth the dead.
And calleth those things.
And calls those things
which be not,
which be not as though they were. Come on.
who against hope believed.
Who God, Abraham believed against hope. I know things can look bad, church. But if you hope in God, I don't matter how bad it look. If you hope in God, you got to keep hope alive. Is that all right? That's why you got to walk by faith, not by sight. You can't go by the news report. You can't go by CNN, ABC, MSNBC, CNN, and NBC. You got to go by the word. Is that all right? You got to go by the word. Read it.
That he might become the father.
That he might become the. God is telling a man, he's old now. The sun is setting on his life and said, you're going to become the father of many nations. And his wife hadn't had a baby and she's past her childbearing years. And yet God is still saying, you are going to become the father of a great nation. Let's see what happens. Read.
According to that which was spoken.
According to that which was spoken.
So shall thy seed be.
So shall your seed be.
And being not weak in faith.
And Abraham gave glory to God because he was not weak in faith. Read.
He considered not his own body.
He considered not the deadness, that is, his reproductive prowess was gone. Sarah's reproductive ability was gone. And let me just tell you something. If God wanted a 90-year woman to have a baby today, she could have it. Hello? Well, that just can't happen. Under normal biological conditions, it just can't happen. But God can do things above all we can ask or think. Read, Brother Hillary.
When
he was about 100 years old,
neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb,
he didn't doubt, he didn't waver, he did not believe it. But was what? Read, brother.
He staggered not at the promise.
Because he knew the God that promises is the God that performs it. Read.
Through unbelief.
But was strong in faith.
Giving glory to God.
Giving glory. He was strong in faith. I don't see how it's going to happen. But you said it, Lord. And I believe it. Christian, God said, I'm going to take care of you. So don't you worry about the economy. You put your trust in the Lord. Is that all right? He can make a way out of no way. Read, Brother Hillary.
And being fully persuaded.
We need some folks in the church today fully persuaded. Is that all right? Being fully persuaded.
That what he had promised.
That what God had promised.
He was able to also perform.
The God who promises is the God who performs. Some folks can promise, but they can't deliver. But the God who promises is the God that performs. And here's the last point. Now I want to ask you, I said all of this to ask you this. Will you give glory unto God? What's the real meaning of life? Is it to grow up, fall in love, go to college, get married, have some children, buy a new house, get a new car, get a new wardrobe, get you some bling bling, get blinged up. That all right? Go to the barber shop, get your cut, get your weave right. What's the purpose of life? What is life all about? I submit to you that life ultimately is about glorifying God. Let me prove that. Here's what the Bible says. Listen to Romans, 1 Timothy 6, 7. It says, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. So what really matters is what I give and render to God. Now, let me give you this. This is what Dale Carnegie said. Now, we give glory to God by how what we do and how we interact in the world. Dale Carnegie said there are four ways in which we make contact with the world. Let me give them to you. He said there are four ways in which we make contact with the world. You see, all of us make our impression in the world by how we make contact in the world. The first thing he said is we make contact with the world by what we do. Is that all right? We make contact with the world by what we do. Secondly, he said, we make contact with the world by how we look. Hello, lights. Folks look at you and they talk about how you look. Y'all better come on, go with me. Number three, he said, we make contact with the world by what we say. And number four, he said, we make contact with the world with how we say it. Four things he said. But let's go a little deeper. Can we go a little deeper? That was Dale Carnegie I gave you. Dale Carnegie said you make contact. And, of course, we make an impression in this world, of course, by what we do, how we look, what we say, how we say it. Is that right? But let's go a little deeper. We make contact with the world by what we do, by who we are, amen, by what we say, by what we think, and by what our attitude is. Because people look at you and they evaluate you, they criticize you, whether rightly or wrongly. People look at you and they evaluate you. And they say whether you got a good attitude or a bad attitude. Hello, lights. That right? Well, the Bible say, here's what God said. He said, live in such a way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your. Don't let everything somebody say about you be bad. Somebody ought to be able to say something good about you. That remind me of a lady went to a funeral and her son were sitting on the front row and folks were coming up saying all these nice things about their father, and she just sat there and finally she said, boy, go look in that casket and see if that's your dad in there. So somebody ought to be able to say something good about you. Is that right? God said, live in such a way that men will see your good works and they will glorify God. Now, as I close, let's go to Ephesians 3:21. Now, where's the place we should glorify God? There's a special place on earth that we should glorify God. I want to have this read, Ephesians 3:21. There's a special place on earth that every one of us should glorify God. You have it, Brother Hillary? What is that?
Unto him be glory.
Unto him
be glory.
Be glory.
In the church.
In the what?
In the church.
In the church. Now, where's the place that we should glorify God? Where? And I'm in the church to glorify God. Is that right? Unto him be glory where?
In the church.
In the church. Read, Hillary.
By Christ Jesus.
By Christ Jesus.
Throughout all ages.
Throughout all ages.
World without end.
So now watch this. So I'm to glorify God on this earth by, number one, coming into the church, by obeying the gospel. Every person on earth ought to be a member of the church. There are some people who will never be members of the church, unfortunately, but the reality is everybody should be a member of the Lord's church. Everybody should be a member of the church you can read about in the Bible. Well, how do you become a member of the Lord's church? You come by hearing the gospel, how Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. You become a member by believing it. John 3:16, you become a member by repenting of your sin, by confessing Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and by being immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And then God adds you to the church. And then the Bible says that we should know how to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Every time we assemble on the first day of the week, we're giving God the glory. Every time we come and we take our hymn book led by Brother Ruckley so effectively, we're giving God the glory. Every time we stand in corporate prayer together, we're giving God the glory. Every time we hear the word preached and we receive it and we respond to it, we're giving God the glory. Every time we assemble around his table and we go back to Calvary and we say he's not there and we say he's risen by taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, we're giving God the glory. And every time we give and we're cheerful and liberal givers and we're glad we can give back to the Lord because he's done so much for us, we're giving God the glory. And then when we leave this assembly and we go out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday on our jobs and our homes and our interaction with other human beings or whatever we do, decisions we make, we're either giving God the glory or we are taking the glory from God. The rich fool refused to give God the glory. And I want to tell you, every person in this world is either going to live as a wise man or a foolish man. And every person in this world is either going to die as a wise man or a foolish man. But if I'm wise, I will give God the glory. I'm going to my seat now, but let me tell you this. Solomon, that great scholar, that great preacher, and that great teacher, he said, buy the truth and don't you ever sell it. Is that all right? Then the one who is greater than Solomon said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is that all right? And the truth is, I should give God the glory. The truth is, the heaven declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The truth is, God's name is excellent in all the earth. Is that all right? The truth is, God is holy, 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 holy. The whole earth is full of God's glory. Is that all right? And that's the truth, and nobody can do anything about it. Oh, I tell you, the truth is that green blades of grass are giving God the glory. The truth is, beautiful flowers are giving God the glory. The truth is, the birds, as they wing their way through the air, singing about his glory, are giving God the glory. Is that all right? Rock-bound and snow-capped mountain that etch their majestic peaks against a bending blue sky are giving God the glory. Is that all right? The sea in her turbulent majesty are giving God the glory. Is that all right? The whole earth is full of God's glory. And let me tell you this story, and I'll go to my seat. One day, during the dynamic ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He went to a city in Samaria, and there were 10 men who were lepers. Yes, they were. And they stood afar and they said, Jesus, oh, Jesus, have mercy on us. Is that all right? And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Is that all right? And they kept walking. Yes, they did. And as they walked, they were cleansed. Is that all right? And 9 kept walking. But a stranger turned around and came back to Jesus and said, glory to God in the highest. I got to give God the glory. Is that all right? And Jesus said, 1 to 10, where are the 9? Is that all right? The 9 ought to be right here beside you giving God the glory. Is that all right? So I want to ask you today, are you going to keep on walking? Or will you turn around and say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me? Is that all right? Will you tell God, I just want to praise your name? Is that all right? I just want to lift your name higher and higher for saving my soul. Is that all right? Oh, will you give God the glory? Or will you just keep walking? Will you keep living like he doesn't exist? Or will you give him the glory? Is that all right? Don't ignore him, but give him the glory. Stand on your feet. That's the message. Will you give him the glory? Don't be like those 9. Just got a blessing. And just kept walking. Some of these folks, time you let them in on the road, they just go in front of you. They don't say nothing. Some people don't care what you do. They think you're supposed to do that. But we ought to give God the glory. Is that right? And I can glorify him today by asking him to bless me. Amen. I can glorify him today by saying, Lord, I've sinned against you, and I want you to forgive me. Amen? Or you can just keep walking like those 9. But one turned around. Will you turn around? Or will you keep walking the road to ruin? For some folks, it's time to turn around. Amen. Because you just don't know what a day will bring. Is that right? So we ought to give God. Give God the glory. You here today? This is your time now. The Lord has spoken to you. It's time for you to speak to him. If there's a need in your life, give God the glory. Blind man was crying out to Jesus one day, and folks tell him, hush, hush. But if you need Jesus, don't let nobody stop you. You keep calling him until you get an answer. Is that all right? And he'll come with healing in his wings. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth is thou a call? Oh, do not pass. I'm calling you, Savior, oh, Savior. Why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth is that? What call? Oh, do not fear. I'm